You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'm really surprised that I got David on the podcast after essentially ruining Wolves Wired yesterday.
I don't think it was that bad. I think that some of the feedback we've received has been mixed. I mean, you had to follow up on a week of high profile guests, including Jamal Crawford. So you got to step up your game. Be an NBA player next time. We won't hate you so much.
Gosh, if I could only. I was definitely had some tough shoes to fill, but I talked about gambling and. And I talked about my overseas debt, so people can make fun of me. That's really where we can come together.
You very much hit your niche.
I don't know about anybody else's, but I can hit my own. This is David Naylor on the phone talking some Phoenix Suns preview versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. And right off the bat, after the Warriors loss, I feel like fans are going to really want the Timberwolves to blow out the Suns. And I think there's a lot of unfair reactions to the Warriors loss, when the Warriors are just a team that was built in a lab somewhere that the government has hid and probably destroyed, because now it's illegal to have a basketball team this good. It's really you have to expect losing to the Warriors almost. And now you're playing the Suns. This is just a really good game probably for the Wolves, I feel like, to follow, just because they're not playing the Spurs after the Warriors. How do you feel about playing the Suns a couple days after playing the Golden State Warriors?
You know, the thing with the Phoenix Suns is they're not very good.
That's not a very thin limb that you're climbing out on.
I don't think that's a hot take at all. They're 4-8. They've won some games, somewhat surprisingly. They made their way to 4-4, but they've lost four straight, and I believe, let me check, by points per game, oh no, by offensive rating, or defensive rating given up, they are the third worst team in the league at defense. They are worse than the Timberwolves at defense.
Which is something. So, that's something.
Which is something. By defensive rating, the Timberwolves are 27th, and the Suns are 28th. So, with that said, the Timberwolves should score all of the points this game. And for a team that's been winning on an offense-first mentality already this season, this should be a field day for the team. We could see some really big numbers put up, I hope.
Yeah, you would think that the matchup advantage, especially for guys like Towns, should be just something they could make hay off of the entire game. Like, there's not really a guy that the Suns have that I can think of that matches up well against Towns.
Yeah, well, and Towns is a bear of a matchup on offense to just about anybody, but I mean,
that's true as well.
They've been starting, they've started Tyson Chandler in every game that he's been available for, it looks like. And it's an interesting matchup for Towns, because it's another one of those, like, probably he's given up a little bit of size to Chandler, but he's going to be able to be a lot more mobile. And so one of the things that I know we talked yesterday and Wolves Wired about is that they didn't pull Zaza Pachulia out to the three-point arc maybe as much as they should against the Warriors, with using Towns on offense. And that's something they really should do against Chandler, because he doesn't want to get out of the paint ever. He's a great paint defender, long history of doing that. But the more they can use Towns' perimeter skills and Towns' ability to put the ball on the floor against Chandler, I think that could be a really huge asset to how they're playing.
I mean, if you get Chandler out on the wing, what's the worst he can do on defense? Say some mean things to you? Is that the best
that
gets on the wing?
That's basically it, yeah. Like, what's he going to do to you? You can get past him, you can shoot around him, shoot over him if he doesn't step out fast enough. Like, it should be a nightmarish matchup for him if the Timberwolves abuse it.
And then on the defensive side, if you're the Timberwolves, you've got to feel pretty comfortable if you just keep Devin Booker to 10 points. Like, even if you have mediocre defense at best with the rest of the team, this is not really a roster that outside of one of their better players can beat you.
Yeah, so the thing with Booker is, Devin Booker, I would like you to meet Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler will be defending you tonight. Good luck.
He's going to have a really tough time, too, because I feel like there's going to be, right away in the first quarter, there's going to be a play where Jimmy Butler really tests him and beats him, and then Booker's going to get into that mindset that I think some young players get into quickly in games where they're like, oh, no, I can beat this guy in isolation. I can take him. And then that's half the game for him is he just wants to beat Jimmy Butler one-on-one, which I don't think he can do for basically the entire season. So
yeah,
I feel very comfortable.
If you cut Booker out of the Suns' offense, they traded away their third-best scorer earlier this week in trading Eric Bledsoe to the Bucks, and so they've only got three guys averaging double-digit scoring in a game, and Booker is most of that. So if you take Booker out of their offense, especially right now, it should be a pretty winnable game for Minnesota.
No, for sure. And I wanted to get to that, too. What do you think of the Bledsoe leaving? And do you think Monroe has any impact at all in this game, or do you think that that's something that doesn't happen for at least a couple more games where he's really comfortable in the offense?
I'll bet they're going to try and get him some minutes at the very least. Just even, like, at this point for the Suns, we know they're tanking. That's pretty obvious. It's been pretty obvious since the start of the year. With Bledsoe gone, it's even more obvious. So just to get Monroe some minutes with the team, try and get him more comfortable with the players in a game situation, I think that should be their priority more than, like, going out there and trying to win the game, going out there and trying to find matchups to abuse. Get Monroe out there, see what you've got with him, probably with a bench unit, like, see how he does against Jeng when the Wolves are running their all-bench unit that they've intended to do. And if he plays well, maybe see how he runs against the starters. Why not?
Yeah, you've really got nothing to lose, and If you're a college kid and you think the Suns will draft you, do you just tweet out right now, "I don't want to be here," and then the Suns will just leave you alone? Is that the play to avoid being on the Suns?
Is Doncic's Twitter? Luka Doncic's Twitter. He should get right on that right now. Yeah, I don't know. Like, nothing. I think it really depends on if they get a quality coaching hire next offseason. Because, like, I don't think Triana's going to be the long-term guy there. It doesn't seem like it would make sense for them.
That's a hell of a long time for an interim head coach, too.
79 games of a season. Like, and they should not go hire someone mid-season. They've got to wait and see what falls out. Because even with last year, no NBA coaches lost their jobs. And so you kind of have a feeling that at least a couple of people are going to be available by the end of the season, however something goes. You still have the questions about the ownership group and how supportive they're going to be and how well they're going to work with the players. You have questions about their young general manager and Ryan McDonough and how he handled the Bledsoe situation, because he didn't seem to have handled that well from the team perspective either. So, like, there are benefits to it. You're going to be – you have a chance to be the guy if you believe in Booker's ability to be a leading scorer on a team and the ability to play off him. If you believe in some of the young big man talent and Bender and Chris, then it might be an appealing situation for a young player to look at just in terms of talent. But at the same time, it's like you want stability. And that's something the Suns haven't demonstrated to anyone that they're going to have for their star players for several years now. And, I mean, we've seen this firsthand watching the Timberwolves, what happens when you have instability and constant turnover and players getting messy divorces from their teams. Like, we lived through 2010, 2011, 2012 Minnesota. We've seen this before. And it feels bad to watch, but they're going to need to – I think they really need to make a home run of a head coaching hire and maybe consider changing the front office before this really turns around.
No, and the way they've developed the talent, the young talent on their team, because they have – it's not like they've drafted terribly. They have some really enticing-looking pieces on the team as far as young guys, but they don't have any real system to develop them. And the veterans, like we mentioned earlier with Bledsoe, the veterans are leaving this team or don't want to be a part of the team. Like, it's when you have veterans who don't want to be with high first-round draft picks and be a part of the build that they're doing, then something's wrong with the culture, you've got to think.
Yeah, and it's like, it seems like they, like, in Jared Dudley, I think Jared Dudley is one of the better, like, culture fits in the league. And he's basically it now. Like, he and Chandler are the only veterans they've got with Bledsoe gone. If they, both of those could be trade pieces for teams looking for some backup minutes the later the season gets. I know I'd love to see Dudley on the Wolves if they can get him. There was a little bit of chatter on that. I think it was a Zach Lowe piece of if the Wolves could get the Suns to bite on a trade for Jared Dudley, he'd be an amazing fit coming off the bench in Minnesota. And I would love to see that. But, I mean, if they trade Dudley and Chandler away, it's a complete reset. They've got nobody older than 27 on the roster, and that's that.
Do you think the Wolves could get?
That's what we could see.
Do you think the Dudley trade could happen if the Wolves just gave up the Utah first round pick? Do you think that the Suns would be shopping for more than that, or too much more, like maybe a first round pick and like Shabazz? I know Shabazz has really killed his trade stock. Actually, he got an assist the other night. Shabazz is a hot commodity.
Yeah, he's a hot commodity. He's got 5 assists in 11 games. God bless that man.
Dear Lord.
He's a gem.
Obviously.
I don't know. Like, the thing with Shabazz is Shabazz doesn't, like, match money that well as a minimum player. And so, let me look at Dudley's contract. Because
he would be nice to have with Crawford coming off the bench.
He would be awesome to have coming off the bench. Yeah, I think the Suns would have to take Cole Aldrich for the money to work. Which I don't think is out of the question.
You think they would take him, maybe?
They'd have to attach a pick. Like, if you make it like Cole and... If you make it like Cole and the Utah pick, I think that the Suns might be paying attention. You might have to throw in, like... It depends how much they want to... except dumping the Cole deal.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer. And then Dudley is due $10 million this year. And is he guaranteed for next year? He's fully guaranteed for next year. So they have control of Dudley for 2 years if they can swing a deal. So I don't think they're the only team going to be trying to get Phoenix's attention on him, and I don't know if Cole and a pick is enough to beat another team's offer, but I want to see them get in the conversation for it.
No, yeah, that would be a really nice piece, and we'll get to matchups here in a second, but I do want to dive down the trade rabbit hole in the NBA with you for just a second here. If I'm looking at the just as an example of how they really haven't developed these guys and made them, because if they want to make a move to make this roster better, I'm looking at guys like Marquese Chris and Dragan Bender, maybe guys you would want to trade for a year ago, and they just have not done anything. Like, if I'm the Timberwolves and I'm looking at just the Suns in a trade, there's nothing outside of maybe like a Dudley as a solid bench piece, or Devin Booker if you want to add a really good score, but like the other young talent they have, Dragan Bender, Marquese Chris, those guys do not look appealing at all if I want to add them to my roster. Like, that's kind of bad. I know that they're young and they're still developing, but they should at least be appealing for other people to take on.
Well, and part of it is they're just not getting, I don't think they're getting enough minutes. Like, if they're committing to their full rebuild, like, Chris is getting 20 minutes a game, Bender's getting like 21. And I think you need to just bump them up and try and see if they can get more comfortable on the field. Because it's just like, Bender isn't shooting. He's shooting, 34-28-89 on the season. So he's just not hitting shots. And Chris is not much better. Chris is hitting threes at a better clip. But, like, they're just, neither of them are getting it done pretty much at all on offense. Which is disappointing, considering both of them are, I mean, they're both top five, top six picks from that draft a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You got to expect more from what you're getting there. And so I guess for Phoenix, it depends on how much they believe. Because, like, if they believe 100% that it's Booker and nothing else on this roster matters, you could probably get them to talk about TJ Warren, which I think would be interesting. But other than that, like, maybe Bender, maybe Chris, if you want to take a flyer on them. But at the same time, they're on, like, top five, top six pick rookie deals. Which
they're
not
exactly
that
cheap.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, Dudley's the piece that I'd be interested in off their roster, and I think it's the piece they'd be most willing to part with if they're fully committing to tanking and rebuilding all the way, which, I mean, it's been a couple of years coming. I don't know why they signed Chandler to begin with.
just for fun. Just for fun.
Yeah, basically. Pay him the money.
You might as well. Who would you rather have mentoring you, by the way, for like a year? Dudley in a demoralizing system or Tyson Chandler, just full Tyson Chandler? that was a long pause.
Yeah, I hope that pause was indicative of my. You got me between a rock and a hard place right there. Why not both?
They just end up fighting more than teaching you.
And it's just like.
That honestly feels like the Suns' problem, is that their whole front office is too busy fighting to actually build this team.
And it's what happens when you don't have a coach that you believe in. Like, the fact that Earl Watson started this season and made it three games before getting fired means they had absolutely no belief in him. I would assume that he didn't have that much say in roster construction, which, even if, like, I'm not sure that the coach GM approach, like the Timberwolves and Pistons have with their coach being their GM, basically. I'm not sure that that's the answer, but the coach has got to be involved in the process. And if you don't believe in the coach enough to have him involved in the process, why are you paying him to coach your basketball team?
Yeah, like, he's got to be in the conversation, at least.
He's got to be in the conversation, because how is he going to coach a roster that he doesn't believe in? And so exactly. There's just all that dysfunction all the way up and down the board. That's why I think, like, this season's such a wash for them. And so I think they just cut money, take on expiring deals as much as they can, come into next season with, hey, we've got Devin Booker. He's really good. He gets lots of points. We've got a lot of cap room. We've got some young guys. Let's see what we can do, and a new head coach. So I hate to write off a team season 12 games in, but it feels pretty obvious.
That's the kind of confidence we have at the zone coverage writing staff, is we can write off teams this early in the season. We just know basketball like that.
But the thing with it is we've seen this team.
Yeah, for years. Players,
but we've seen this team for years as Timberwolves fans. We've seen the dysfunction. We've got young picks and maybe a couple of veterans who are going to get traded away inevitably. Like I think back to the. I want to say the 2014-15 or 15-16 team that had still a few leftover veterans after the Andrew Wiggins and Kevin Love deal. And then it's just, you know, they're going to get traded away. Kevin Martin's going to get traded away for, like, a pick and go play for a playoff team and et cetera down the roster. You're going to get rid of all the old guys because they're not going to want to play for you during the time. They're going to want to get a shot at a ring. And I feel like that's what Phoenix needs to do, because this is that kind of season for them.
No, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. All right, so I'm going to force you to guess a score for this game later on. But first, I wanted to get to some matchups. You already mentioned the Booker versus Butler. If you're looking at the defense, I know the defense has not been impressive for the Suns, but there's no way that Wiggins should have any trouble getting to 25 points tonight, is there? There's no matchup that the Suns can throw at him, unless they double-team him literally the entire night, where he should have any trouble getting to 25 or so.
Yeah, and I'll admit I haven't watched that much of Phoenix this year, so I don't know if, like, T.J. Warren's been showing flashes of defensive potential, or I'm pretty sure Booker hasn't been, but who knows. this is the problem, is what the Timberwolves have on their roster is if they decide that double Wiggins is the approach, oh, look, you've given Jimmy Butler an opening on offense to actually have a good offensive game in terms of scoring, which he hasn't done that much this year. And if you really want to invite him to score 25-30 tonight, be my guest. Go right ahead. That's great. Let's do that.
Yeah, I think that maybe there's people out there that want to see Jimmy Butler just tear into the Suns, but I really feel like Teague and Wiggins are going to have really big nights against
Wiggins should absolutely feast tonight. Like, this should be another one of those games that's ridiculous, because it's when you have Wiggins and Butler, you got to put the guy you like more on defense on one of them. And then you're probably gonna have Booker guarding the other one, and that's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, and then you have Towns too, and that Tyson Chandler was sick against the Miami Heat, so if he's still not feeling well against the Wolves, then there's really I don't see there that there's any guy, because then you lose the physicality in the paint for them. I don't think there's another player on the team that can be as physical as Tyson Chandler.
And like Alex Len is an interesting piece, and I like some of what he's shown, but again, he's another guy that he doesn't really want to come out to the 3-point arc. That's not his game. That's not what he's strong at. And I think he's an interesting player, and he's shown some pretty good flashes. And he's had himself an okay season in 22 minutes a game with one start. But, like, he's not going to be a threat on offense very much at all. At least he shouldn't be. God knows I didn't think Steven Adams is going to be a ridiculous threat on offense, so I can't count backup centers out too much. Or starting center.
Don't ever bet against New Zealand is basically what we learned from Steven Adams.
Basically, that man is a beast. But like he could go off, but again, it's one of those things where if Towns and the Timberwolves offensive system plays this right, Towns should spend a lot of the time on perimeter trying to use the agility advantage that he should have over Len or Chandler, either one, to just absolutely get his rather than being stuck in the post in perhaps a matchup that he's given up a little bit of size in.
I feel like this could be a really important game for Towns too, just because I don't think they're, like you're saying, there's going to be much resistance from the defense of the Suns for his 3-point shot, and he struggled with that against the Warriors a little bit. So getting that back on track before they have to play the Jazz and the Spurs, two teams who are a lot better on defense, I think is important just to have him find a rhythm from outside, because he really hasn't found a rhythm from three. And that's a really important part of the offense for the Timberwolves, to really stretch and strain a defense when he's hitting threes.
Yeah, and he's only at 12-37 on the year for 32%, which is not what you'd want to see from him. You want him probably like 36-37% at least. And you think those numbers will go up, and this could be a good night to pad him if he's got the shot and he's feeling it.
I'd definitely be fine with him shooting like seven or eight times from downtown.
Yeah, just find the shots in rhythm and go for it if you see him. I would love to see that tonight from the offensive approach. Because honestly, like I felt like they should have done that more against the Warriors than they did, even if the shots weren't falling, because that's probably their best offensive angle to attack the Warriors, is to use Towns on the perimeter and make somebody have to go deal with him, which should give you an advantage whoever they're playing at the five, whether it's Petulia or McGee. But that's been and gone. So
yeah, I don't know if you talked about this on Wolves Wire, but Tom and I were talking about this yesterday, is that you don't want to get sucked into playing Warriors ball where you're trying to do transition stuff with them and outpace them, because that's never going to work. But you also do have to try and keep up with the offense, and you can't just bet on the defense beating them, because it's not. So shooting more threes would have been something, especially in that third quarter, just getting somebody on the Timberwolves to feel a 3-point shot would have been good.
Yeah, that would, like, you have to have everything working against Golden State. That's just reality.
All right, looking at the Timberwolves and Suns again, the bench I feel like is another place where the Timberwolves can really pick up. Jamal Crawford, I think, has a big night against the Suns. There's not really anybody. We talked about Dragan Bender before. Jared Dudley is a pretty solid piece off the bench, but there's not a ton. Tyler Ulis has had a pretty rough season. Josh Jackson has been up and down. There's not anybody I feel like who can really hurt the Wolves super bad on off their bench. And on the defensive side, I don't think there's anybody that can really stay with Jamal Crawford. And when he starts dancing right in front of the free throw line and then finds somebody or is shooting really well, I don't think there's anybody on the bench or the second unit for the Suns that is going to be able to give him fits defensively.
Well, and Colton, this is the problem, is the Suns starting lineup looks like a bunch of dudes that should be coming off the bench in the NBA. like, let's just be real. Which means that by necessity, their bench is even worse. So, like,
Phoenix, you just got some tough love from David.
I'm not here to sugarcoat it. Like, I don't think their roster's good. I don't think their team's good. And I agree. What I would be interested in, if thinking about the Timberwolves bench, is I want to keep feeding Nemanja Bjelica more of the ball, more offensive opportunities, get him more usage. And he has interesting matchups against bench and if he plays with the starters at all tonight. Because I'd be interested to, I'd actually be interested to see some Bielitsa minutes with the starters tonight instead of Taj, because I think you can get away with it tonight, and I want to see what that lineup can do. Because that, if you play Bielitsa instead of Taj on offense with the rest of the starting lineup, that offensive lineup, if Bielitsa continues to shoot the way he is absolutely unstoppable.
No, you're absolutely right. I have not been super impressed. And Taj, I don't think, was ever meant to start all 82 games. So if you have Bielitsa playing a lot of minutes with the starters this game and then maybe against the Mavericks, do you think at some point, and he does well, do you think at some point in like December or January he's actually getting starts there instead of Taj?
I think that he's going to get more. If what he's shown in the first 11, 12 games of the season is real, which is the question, right? We've seen Bielitsa have good stretches before.
No,
but
that's
this
true.
Is by far the best he's looked. And if this is real, if this is like actual the Nemanja Bielitsa, the EuroLeague MVP that we hoped we were getting 2-3 years ago, I could see maybe not starting, but I could definitely see him continuing to pick up more and more of the minutes, which is why I think like games like this were great times for him to build chemistry with the starting lineup. Because with him on the floor as essentially the fifth offensive threat, and for him to be able to be as good a shooter and ball handler as he is to be the fifth offensive threat, if he can build up comfort playing with the lineups and finding openings to do, they should just absolutely kill teams with that lineup on offense. The defense is still a question, but since the defense is a question for everybody, why not just go out and see how many points you can drop on somebody?
Exactly. And the way that the Wolves are passing the ball too, if he's with the starters, he's going to have a lot of open shots. This is going to be easy pickings for him.
Yeah, like I want to see some of that lineup tonight. I think that would be my goal for tonight, because I think that this is like a lot of these first few games of the season, we felt like we needed Taj in to be a defensive stopper against whoever the opponent's running out at the four, whether it's like the Carmelos of the world, the Draymonds of the world, et cetera, on down the line. This is a night where I don't feel like you're going to need Taj's defense as much. So run up Bielitsa to get the offense really rolling and let him kind of show what he's been doing in a bigger sample size.
Plus, let's be honest, if you just thinking really far into the future, if you're in the playoffs, like these are kind of the games early on where you're conditioning guys to play some minutes that are really important. And so when you're trimming the lineup down, if Bielitsa can be one of those seven or six guys that is playing minutes in the playoffs and he's already been starting or been playing starting minutes, that's just banking for that kind of time.
Bielitsa in the role that he's in is a huge key to the Timberwolves being not just a playoff team, but a playoff team that can win playoff games. Because you have to have that counter to Taj in terms of you've got your defensive focus guy and you've got your offensive focus guy. And just the threat and the floor spacing that Bielitsa can bring if he has a full season of quality basketball shoots. I'm not going to say he's going to keep shooting 60% from three, but if he's hitting like 39, 40% from three, has the threat that he has in other areas of the game, like he is a great sixth man, seventh man, because Jamal Crawford is the ultimate sixth man. Can't ever take that away. But
Jay crossover.
He's an awesome, awesome seventh man to bring off the bench, and he can play great minutes when you see an opening to be able to abuse another team's lineup. With the shooting and spacing he can bring, I think he's just absolutely vital to the Wolves taking not the step to being a good team, because they seem like they're a good team. But if Bielitsa's talent is real, this is like a team that can win playoff games.
Yeah, so hopefully he gets a considerable amount of time tomorrow. Before you plug anything, what is the score of this game tomorrow night when the final buzzer is sounded?
131-104 Minnesota.
Oh, I like that. I was thinking 120-106 Minnesota, but you're going with the absolute destructive blowout.
I want them to drop 130 on this team. There is no reason they shouldn't. Like with that, like their offense has already been like offensive rating. They're pushing right around top 10 in the league. This is a game to push themselves back into the top 10 in the league in offensive rating. Go out, just absolutely whoop this team.
I mean, Miami scored 125 on the Suns the other night, so the Timberwolves should be able to put up 130.
Yeah, I very much agree. I think that, yeah, and you can view this as a trap game if you want, because we're Timberwolves fans and that's what we do, but I...
Just conditioned to think the worst things.
Yeah, so, and it's like, I can absolutely see them losing this game because it's a very Timberwolves thing to do. I really don't think it there are very few worlds where it should happen.
I think that Jimmy Butler would probably yell at people to the point of tears if they lost this team to the Suns on the plane trip back.
And he should.
He should, but I think at the very least the fear of Thibodeau and Butler would keep the Timberwolves from losing this game.
Yeah.
All right. Anything?
I hope so, anyway.
You would hope so. Anything that you have to plug? Any articles coming up here on Zone Coverage?
Okay, so I did go last weekend to the Iowa Wolves season opener down in Des Moines, and I'm going to have a piece up later this weekend about my experience down there and about their roster for the year, so you can get kind of a preview of the guys down there. They're a really fun team to watch. You can watch all of their games for free. So if there's a night where the Timberwolves aren't playing and you want to still watch some basketball, give the Iowa Wolves a glance. You can watch every D-League game for free on Facebook Live. And it's not a bad arena experience down in Des Moines, only a three-hour drive from the Twin Cities. And there will always be open seats. I don't think ticket prices are that expensive. So if you want to go see it, maybe as the year progresses, I'll bet you'll see Justin Patton down there when he's starting to get full rehab time from his injury. Marcus Georges Hunt got time last night in Northern Arizona playing for the Iowa Wolves. So just keep an eye out for that up on Zone Coverage this weekend. Get to know those players, get to know that team in their first year of having a Minnesota D-League team. And, yeah, that's my big project that I've been working on a little bit for the last week, is getting to know that team and getting familiar with the players. Now the Timberwolves actually have a real minor league system, which is kind of nice.
I love Melo Tremblay. I'm a huge Melo Tremblay fan.
Dude gets buckets. He and Anthony Brown just get buckets. And it's so fun to watch when they're hot. Like, the game, their first game was against Lakeland, Orlando's minor league team, and they've been trailing most of the game, and then the fourth quarter, Melo and Anthony Brown just lit it up and turned it around for a comeback win.
He's a fun player to watch. He's also super relatable. Like, he'll make a couple really, really nice plays, and then he'll dribble himself into, like, a triple team for no reason and turn it over. And it's like, oh, yeah, I do that in pickup basketball. He's the relatable basketball star.
Yeah, and then it's like, he's also one of the ones where it's like, if you're the pickup guy, you've got to shoot yourself into form. That's Melo.
Yep, Melo, like, yep.
If he sees a shot, he's taking the shot to try and get himself in. And when it works, it works. I mean, who hasn't been in pickup and has had that game where you're just feeling it from three and you're just gunning all the way, every single shot you see?
It's true. He's like the poor man's Marcus Smart, where it doesn't matter if he's 9 for 10 or 1 for 11. He's taking that shot if he thinks
it's
he can
make it.
It's
going up. It's going up.
I love it.
If he was as good of a defender as Marcus, if he was half the defender Marcus Smart was, he'd be playing in the NBA. But, you know.
You gotta love the spirit.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, he's David, I'm Colton, and this has been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.